clothes explain anyhow? Oh, that N-word. Oh, you better sit down for this one. I gotta tell you this so that from tonight on you'll stop sinning. And as the bishop said, sin means hamartia, the original Greek, to miss the mark. It also comes from, in the English language, it's an archery term, where the archer would aim at a target with his bow and arrow. And if he missed his target, he was said to have sinned. God gave you a target of good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. If you miss it, you sin. You see, most people don't even know what sin is, but I don't have time to get in there. They're sinning and don't even know what it is. And the most sinful people are the religious folks, just busy missing the mark. Some not even shooting for it. I don't know if you can stand the mark. The mark is the absolute realization, I am God. And there is none beside me. It is absolute self-conscious oneness with God. Oh my goodness, such heresy. It is the God self-consciousness that Jesus exhibited. He was always saying, I and my Father. No, the flesh is not God. The intellect is not God. You see, don't go running off on that. Those are the people who go crazy. No man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. That's a spiritual self-realization. And you see, when Paul was knocked from his beast on the Damascus road, and he said, who are you, Lord? The voice said, I am Jesus. That was self-revelation. That was not Christology. And the force of that divine self-knowledge knocked him off of his beast. What does that mean? Knocked him off of his fleshly, beastly identity. Every person who is in the body is riding a beast, and you know it. It's a beast, baby. I told them about it at the church uptown last week. It's a beast. It'll eat itself to death. Can't say that four-letter word in here. But anyway, a three-letter word. It'll sex itself to death. Wind this up now. See, that's what the scourge of STDs are about. People are being controlled by their beast. The beast will eat itself to death. The beast will work itself to death. The beast will worry itself to death. But when the self-revelation comes, I am Jesus, then mind falls off of that beast. And gets a new identity. Because when Saul got up from that ground after he was knocked off of his beast and had the self-revelation, I am Jesus, he got up and said, it's no more I, but it's Christ. And know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? I can do all things. Hey, hey, hey. Through Christ. I've been knocked off of the beast. Oh, the N-word, my God. Here's the N-word. It's the never word to say about money. Because if you say it, it will give you trouble with money. Never say, spend money. Purge your thoughts and your speech from the word spend concerning money. My Irish accountant, my dear wife, knew this long ago. All the people around me, they know never to say about money, spend. There are some other words that you substitute. The bishop used one of them. Circulate. You may also use money. But from this moment on, stop thinking spend. Why? What you spend, what does that mean? It's gone. What you circulate does what? Comes back to the point of origin. Okay, stand up. I got to close and I got to give you this. Got to give you this word, this affirmation, so that you're not, don't ever spend any more money. What are you going to do with it? Circulate. And circulate means what? It returns to the point of origin. Oh, Reverend Ike, is that nitpicking? No, it's not. If you read the Bible, it tells us about the principle of the power of our word. Thou art ensnared by the words of thy crooked mouth. You know, like I finally found out what happened to Job. All the preachers were wrong by Job all over the years. Why do the righteous suffer? And I talk about that in this book here too, about why do the righteous suffer. I'll tell you why the righteous suffer. Because the righteous, the religious people, don't know that it is possible to be even ethically right, but mentally crooked. Quiet in here now. You can keep all of those Moses' commandments and yet be ensnared by the words of your mouth. You know, just like the new preacher that was getting up to preach his first sermon in his new church, and he wanted to impress his members about how righteous he was. And so he got up and he said, now all of you that have been going around here committing adultery, may your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth. Place your hands in a receptive position and let's get rid of the spend word. Don't do it. That was what they called an old blues song back in the 50s when I first came to New York. Nobody here but me remembers that. They said, now, baby, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's better than some of those old spirituals. Talk about nobody knows the trouble I see. And there's another popular one I never could sing. We shall overcome someday. I said, that ain't soon enough for me. When is someday? There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but someday. And that's just when you'll overcome. Now faith is.
Now faith is.
All right, let's get rid of the spin. That's the N word. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I release every negative idea.
I release every negative idea.
About good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money.
From this moment on.
I will never again spend my money.
I circulate my money.
First in tithes and offerings. And I circulate it for the good that I desire to be, to do, and to have.
And all of my money
circulates and comes back to me
in a never ending cycle
of increase and enjoyment.
In a never ending cycle.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Let's go now to the second commandment of money. And be sure that you get all of the tapes of this conference. And the tapes from last night, would you believe that I looked at that today? Awesome. And I tell you, the bishop has just been feeding us. And I tell you, my soul just felt so good last night and tonight, just sitting there being fed. And you know, because the first lesson in this book is, you are what you feed your mind. All right. Let's move along. I can't tell an Air Force joke behind that. I'll tell the men. I speak in other tongues. See, again, up at our church, we have sex education classes. And I've separated them. We have one that we call man to man. And another one, woman to woman. So that people can get loose at the mouth and talk. So you do that in church? Well, that's part of the problem. People have not gotten correct information in church about sex and everything else, and that's why the world is going to hell. And it's time to talk plain talk about the three hang-ups of mankind. Here I go again. And I'm going to do a book on that too. There are three things that are the three big hang-ups of mankind: money, sex, and religion. And some of you are hung up by all three. One don't get you, the other will. Unless you become spiritually disciplined. Let's get to commandment of money. Reverend Ike's 10 commandments of money and commandment number 2. Let's stand and read it. I do this because, again, as I say, there are some residual amounts of my theological cemetery, I mean seminary training, left over. And most of the time I will read a text. So we're going to read the second of Reverend Ike's Ten Commandments of Money now, and I'm going to have you repeat them after me for emphasis. Thou shalt not speak evil of money.
Thou shalt not speak evil of money.
Thou shalt not say,
thou shalt not say,
money is hard to get.
Money is hard to get.
Or to hold.
Or to hold.
Now here's something you may not know, and this statement deals with money on the psychic level. Here it is. Because you remember last night we taught you the three levels of money. Material, mental, psychic, and spiritual levels of money. Now, this statement is from the psychic level of money. So hear this. This is the statement. Money hath ears.
Money hath ears.
And I did a sermon titled, The Ears of Money. Let me hear you say that.
The ears of money.
What's that verse of scripture? Sister Mary will find it for us. Curse not the rich, no, not in thy bedchamber. A bird of the ear. Come here. She's got it out already. Bring it with you if you want. Come on. Oh, come on. Come on then. You see, I'm in the right place tonight. Let me have everybody say, I'm in the right place tonight. All right, right into this mic. Oh, here's one.
Which part do you want, the beginning of it?
Yes, start from the beginning.
Praise the Lord. Curse not the king in thy bedroom chambers, nor the rich in your thoughts, for the birds of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. That's found in Ecclesiastes 10 and the 20th verse.
Thank you. Give her a big hand. God bless you. She's from my church. One of the liturgical dancers. Now,
hallelujah.
That scripture lets us know something. Your thoughts have wings. Even the thoughts that you think in your bedchamber. Here again, this is a psychic level. I ought to get on that psychic thing and tell them what the real psychic is. I was telling Bishop Jordan, I said, you ought to have one of those programs and let them get some real prophecy. That would be a good title for it, too. Real prophecy. How about that? Ooh. Come on, everybody say it. Real prophecy. I think the Spirit brought that, Bishop. But the scripture that she just quoted, Ecclesiastes 3:20? 10:20. It informs us of the psychic nature of our thoughts. On both the subconscious and the psychic levels, we are connected to everybody. Whoever lived and those yet to be born. Now, I am way over the edge. Shirley is out on a limb, but Ike is way over the edge. That's a good book title, too. Let me hear you say, way over the edge.
Way over the edge.
I want to say this again, because it has to do here. It applies here with the second commandment of money that tells us that money hath ears. And if you say the wrong thing about money, money will flee from thee. 99.9% of the people talk money away from them. 99.9% of the people think money away from them. Most people are in what I call self-conflict. A hyphenated term. Sister Mary is going to write that on the screen so that we can get rid of all self-conflict. The absolute truth of the matter is that you are really your only enemy. You are even your own devil. Oh, since I'm way over the edge, you see, what the devil is not a separate entity. Why? Because I am God and there is no other. The devil is the belief that there is an other. The devil is self-conflict. That's another way to define it. And when the devil is cast out, it means that your self-conflict has been cast out. And you are no longer, for example, in the area of money, trying to get money, working your behind to get money, and yet kicking it away from you with your mind. And this is an illustration of the self-conflict that so many people have. They work physically and on the material level for things, and yet on the mental, psychic level, they work against themselves. That's the devil. Not an other either. Well, some more heresy from uptown. There is but one presence and one power, God, the good, divine, love, omnipotent. But listen to this, you see. I am is absolutely God, and there is no other but I am. Because hold on to your hats now. Strap down your wigs. Are you ready? You see, I am the devil too. Reverend Ike, are you saying that God is, I got to get out of here. The devil is mind's misunderstanding of God. The devil is mind's misunderstanding that there is only one power. So the devil is not an entity, an other. I am God. How many others are there? What did the divine principle say? I am God, and beside me there is no other. And the one thing that kept getting the children of Israel into trouble all through the wilderness is the fact that they would go after other gods. And you'd be surprised how many gods that religious folks have. Christians. Why, there a lot of Christians have more regard for what they call the devil Satan's on my track and he's trying to turn me back. I gotta make this journey somehow. I'll watch it. Now I'm gonna say something else and I'll get back to the money. Preachers, watch how you fight the devil. When you fight the devil, you ignite the devil. When you fight the devil, you give him your power. And then it comes back at you and you think it's an other, but it's not an other. It's your power that you've put out there with your belief. But you don't recognize it when it comes back at you. Again, mostly people don't realize when their thoughts become things. And they think that their thoughts are something else. But like the old spiritual said, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. My favorite poem is in this book by Rhett Simmons. What page is it on, some of my students? 180. And I'm going to suggest that 188. Yes, mastery. I at last have reached my goal and solved the mystery of my soul. I am that to which I prayed, that to which I looked for aid. I am that which I did seek. I am my own mountain peak. I upon creation look as a leaf in my own book. For I, the one the many make of substance which from me I take. For all is me, there are no two. Creation is myself all through. What I grant unto myself, I take down from my own shelf and give to me the only one, for I'm the Father and the Son. When I want, I do but see my wishes coming forth in me, for I'm the knower and the known, ruler, subject, and the throne. The three in one is what I am. Hell itself is but my dam, which I did put in my own stream, when in a nightmare I did dream that I was not the only one. Thus by me was pain begun, which ran its course till I awoke and found that I with me did joke. So now that I do stand awake, I my throne do wisely take, and rule my kingdom, which is me, a master through eternity. Money hath ears. Let's hear it.
Money hath ears.
Your thoughts have wings. Say, my thoughts have wings.
My thoughts have wings.
And we want to make you aware of that. And we want you to get your thoughts out of the... cast all of the self-conflict out of your belief system, out of your thinking. Sit down, because I want you to write something. When you get home, I want you to take a whole page and up at the top ask the question, where am I in conflict with myself? Let's hear it.
Where am I in conflict with myself?
Let's hear it. And then let the Spirit lead you and show you. I mean, you can work so hard consciously, working your behind for money, and yet you have a conflict about it, about having it, about enjoying it. Let's read the rest of the affirmation here under the second of the Ten Commandments of money. This is how you ought to think about money. Money is wonderful stuff.
Money is wonderful stuff.
I see.
And feel.
Myself.
Myself.
Having and enjoying more money. Now, I must stop and talk about the word feel. Do this with your hands if you can and say feel.
Feel.
Say it again, feel.
Feel.
Now, I know that the word of faith people tell us that feelings don't mean anything. And there's something to that. But the hook on that is, you will always have feelings, but you have to take control of those feelings. You don't follow those feelings. You learn how to make those feelings follow you. That's the right perspective there. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. Absolutely correct. But if you continue to make those affirmations, then your thoughts and your feelings will begin to follow you. I have a three-part tape series. I don't know whether they brought it here or not. Titled, Tell Your Mind What to Think. Let's hear it.
Tell your mind what to think.
Tell your feelings how to feel.
Tell your feelings how to feel.
What's the last one, any of my students? Tell your body how to react. And you see, this is spiritual self-mastery. You're to be master of your thoughts. Master of your thoughts. How? By letting that same mind that is Christ Jesus be in you. You ought to master your feelings by telling your feelings how to feel. And very frankly, if you deal with your thoughts will impress your feelings. Now, in my heretical brand of mind science, I have observed that feeling is your thought subjectified on the deepest level. Feeling is the deepest level of thought. After, you see, we get up here and we quote the scripture. That's wonderful. We do these affirmations. That's wonderful. Why do we do that? We tell our minds what to think, so that we may impress these thoughts of truth upon our subconscious, so that we may impress these thoughts of truth, the Word of God, upon our deepest feeling nature. When your thoughts reach their deepest level in what the Bible calls the heart and Freud calls the subconscious, it resides there as feeling. The other day when the news releases went out about this $100 million case against me, people started calling me from all across the country, some of my kids that we raised and so on. Oh, Dad, how are things? And the Spirit gave me an answer. And I said this, it doesn't matter how things are. It only matters how I am. Remember that. It'll stand you in good stead. So don't even bother to ask me how are things. Things are in the field of response. Thought is in the field of cause. Only I am is God. Things are not God, whether they go to hell or not. It doesn't matter that the cow jumps over the moon and the dog runs away with the spoon. Or is it the dish that runs away with it? Well, it just doesn't matter. It only matters how I am. Oh, boy, doesn't that set you free?
Yes.
I said, doesn't that set you free?
Yes.
I think you ought to jump up and shout in just a moment when I tell you. The only thing that matters is how I am. And sit right back down. Come on.
Yes.
is. And long as I know, it is well with my soul. Together, it is well. Moment on, you can be free from the tyranny of things. Yes. You say, it doesn't even matter whether I'm in this body or not, whether I leave it or not. I'll stay here in this body until I finish what God put me in here to do. Yes. And then I'll move on. And I've already told them I don't want any of this nonsense behind me when I decide to leave any time between now and the next 50 millennia. First of all, no funeral. No hearses. I want money trucks if you happen to be around. I'm serious. I want money trucks. If Bishop Jordan's still around, get him to come and prophesy up the money to fill up the trucks. To keep the ministry going. I've left enough videotapes and audio tapes to keep it going. And now, spooky. And this is over the edge again. I've already arranged to minister from the other side when I get ready. It's already set up. I am well. Let's hear it.
I am well.
And that's all that matters. So let's get out of this business about how a thing. Stop inquiring after things. Yes. And inquire after God.
Yes.
I am.
I am.
That I am.
That I am.
Which also means I am that which I think I am. I am that which I feel that I am. So, now to use a hamartiological term, little Greek doctor, one of the cardinal doctrines of the Bible that they taught us in the theological seminary was hamartiology, the doctrine of sin. As a matter of fact, a lot of kids never even learned to sin until they went to Sunday school. I remember when our son, the bishop, was a small kid and my wife would take him to see the relatives and so on and so forth. I gave her a commandment. Do not take my kid to anybody's Sunday school. Because I didn't want him to get the hang-ups of religious people.
Amen.
It's getting quiet in here. That's where they teach them original sin. Original sin? Come off. I met my homiletics professor, whose name I will not call, very famous minister here in the city. Mm. Now, I'll tell you who when we get backstage. I won't do that right now. And so he began to ask me about the different doctrines that he'd heard I was espousing on radio and television. And then he asked me, he said, well, what do you teach about original sin? And I said, Dr. So-and-so, you know good and well that sin is not original. Even the term is a lie. Righteousness is original. And I've got the book on that. Right in the first part, it tells you that God originally made man how? In the image and likeness of God. I didn't want him to go to Sunday school and learn about original sin. Sin is not original. That's one of the original theological lies. And this is why religious people and church people have so many hang-ups. Because they've been taught so many lies in the name of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Lies in the name of God are the worst kind. Ooh. You see, the subconscious has a regard for whatever you call God that is supreme to everything else. That's why I used to, and maybe Yolanda will get back to that, I used to have for the anthem at the church uptown, that song, oh, the games people play now, every night and every day now. People walking up to you now, shouting glory, hallelujah now, and they're trying to sock it to you now, in the name of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, religion can be dangerous. Let me hear everybody say it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
So, shall we come back? Somebody up there had been waiting for lightning bolts to strike. But shame on you. If I got somebody straightened out on original sin, I've done a big job. Now, maybe I'll get ahead of myself a little, but it's okay. This is one of the reasons why one of the big things that keep money and goodness away from people is such a bugaboo. Do you know people feel that they are not worthy? People have a great feeling of undeservedness. And where does it begin? With that religious idea of original sin. There's a chapter in this book titled, You Deserve God's Goodness. And I'm going to tell you, until you get all of those ideas out of your head about you don't deserve and you are not worthy, then you're going to be cooked. Kicking money and all the various forms of good that you would really like to have away from you. In this book, in that chapter, You Deserve God's Goodness, I tell you the one reason why you do deserve all of God's goodness. There's only one reason. And first of all, let me relieve you. It's not because you are either good or bad. Matter of fact, the bad folks, sometimes I think they get it before the good folks. Why? Because the bad folks don't have the hang-ups that you good folks have. See, the bad folks don't give a hang about all that theology. They don't care whether you believe in post-trib or pre-trib or mid-trib or no-trib. Matter of fact, I gave up all tribulation myself. I've already been through mine, going through some of it right now. I ain't looking for no more tribulation. Well, let me hear you say, I ain't looking for no more tribulation. But do you know, organized religion will put you through all these things. And there are preachers and churches and theologians that cuss each other out and fall out over whether they're post-trib, a pre-trib, a mid-trib, a no-trib. I'm a no-trib. I've got enough of the tribulation. It's like the old lady that used to sit on her porch rocking and moaning all the time. A little kid came by and said, Grandma, how come you always moaning and groaning like that? Grandma stopped rocking and shook her finger in the kid's face and said, now let me tell you one thing. The Bible says that we are going to have trials and tribulation. And I don't care what you say, I mean to tribulate. You know, you can get whatever you want out of the Bible and some stuff you don't want. If you don't know what you're doing, do not read the book of Revelation. You will never sleep again. You'll get mixed up with those headless horsemen. And drown in the sea of blood. Well, let me get back. Reverend Ike, what does all of this have to do with money? And I was about to tell you something about feeling undeserved. Here's another way of stating principle. In life, you get what you sincerely think, believe, and feel you deserve. If you feel like you deserve that new church, that property, you'll get it. If weighed down in your gut, you are convinced, it is your conviction that God wants you to have it, nothing can keep it from you. And you see, we've got to, that's just another statement, gut level, that I'm using again to describe the Freudian term for subconscious and the Bible term for heart. But you see, this is what you've got to learn how to do. You've got to learn how to get way down there in your gut. Some of you need a gut job. Ask yourself, what do I think? What do I believe? What do I feel about myself? Way down in my gut. Let's hear it. What do I think? What do I feel? What do I believe about myself? Way down in my gut. And then begin to ask yourself some questions about that. Do I believe that I desire the good? Do I believe that I deserve the good? Repeat after me. Do I believe that I deserve the good?
Do I believe that I deserve the good?
Oh, thank you, Jesus. That I desire to be, to do, and to have. Do I believe that I deserve it? See how weak some of you are and that you're asking. I picked it up already. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Oh. Let the redeemed of the Lord jump up and say so. listen to this. Agree with God and win. All you have to do is agree with God and win. Do I agree with God that I deserve this? Do I agree with God that I deserve good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money? Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Something. There is only one reason that you deserve all of God's goodness. And that's why you got to get the book. Send Reverend Ike some money and he'll send it to you. If you'll send him $15 and say, Reverend Ike, send me your book. That'll take care of the postage. It was like I was offering something on TV the other day, you know, and I could hear people out there saying, are you going to send that to me free? I said, no, because I checked with the post office and they will not bring it free. Matter of fact, it was a leather cross. And I said, and I checked with the people who make this leather cross for me and they won't give them to me free. So I can't send it to you free. See, I'm already down. If I don't get there tonight, that's the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not seek something for nothing. And preachers, stop feeling guilty about all these folks that want something for nothing from you. Nothing from nothing. And gets
nothing.
I'll skip around. I'll get to these commandments yet. Another thing. The people that are easiest to be cheated are the folks that are looking for something for nothing. I used to tell them at the church uptown, if XYZ furniture store advertises on the radio or TV or in their window, buy a bedroom set and we will give you a TV absolutely free. I said, don't even walk by on that side of the street, across the street. Because I guarantee you that bedroom suit and that free TV will cost you more than it's worth, their worth. There is no such thing as something for nothing. And then these dear Christian people say, well, you know, and this song also is on our Don't Ever Sing This Here in My Church. I'm glad. Salvation's free. And then by that time, all the colored people pass out. But it's a lie. Listen. See, you didn't know Christianity had its sacred cows too, huh? Stop meddling the Hindus with their sacred cows. Salvation is not free, not even in the economy of Orthodox Christian doctrine. Salvation cost Jesus his life. Yes. And it'll cost you, because you'll have to give up everything. You have to give up other gods. Well, I got the 10th one there started anyway. Thou shalt not seek something for nothing. Well, anyway, which one was I on? Oh, yes, deserving. Please hear this. You have got to do a gut examination in private when you get home. And you're going to find out, as you do an esoteric gut examination and get your subconscious gut straightened out, those ulcers are going to heal up. Those stomach aches and pains that you've been having are going to be cured. Because, you know, it's always what's going on in the mind that hurts the behind. Why hasn't a cure for cancer been found? Because cancer does not originate in the body. As a matter of fact, nothing originates in the body.